Judges chapter 8. We have seen already in verses 1 through 3, number 1, Gideon's soft answer. Number 2, Gideon's stern warning, verses 4 through 17. And this morning we're going to, number 3, we saw Gideon's solemn question, verses 18 through 21. And this morning, number 4, Gideon's startling reply. And underneath that, the people ask for a king. So we have verses 22 through 32. Who would like to begin by reading 22 through 26? 22 through 26. Any volunteers? Going once. All right, Becca. 27 through 32. 27 to 32. All right, Leonard, how about that? Okay, good. Go ahead, Becca.
Then the men of Israel said unto Gideon, rule thou over us, both thou and thy son's son also, for thou hast delivered us from the hand of Midian. And Gideon said unto them, I will not rule over you, neither shall my son rule over you. The Lord shall rule over you. And Gideon said unto them, I would desire a request of you, that you would give me every man the earrings of his prey. For they had golden earrings, because they were Ishmaelites. And they answered, we will willingly give them. And they spread a garment, and did cast therein every man the earrings of his prey. And the weight of the golden earrings that he requested was 1,700 shekels of gold, beside ornaments and collars, and purple raiment that was on the kings of Midian, and beside the chains that were about their camels' necks.
Then Gideon made it into an ephod and set it up in the city. Ophrah and all Israel laid their heart with it there. It became a snare to Gideon and to his house. Then Midian was subdued before the children of Israel, so that they lifted their heads no more. And the country was quiet for 40 years in the days of Gideon. Then Jubal, the son of Josh, went and dwelt in his own house. Gideon had 70 sons who were his own offspring, for he had many wives. And his concubine was also in Shechem, also bore him a son whose name he called Amalek. Now Gideon, the son of Josh, died at a good age, old age, and was buried in the tomb of Josh, his father, in Ophrah of the Amorites.
All right, thank you both. Gideon's startling reply when the people asked for a king. Gideon was so popular, of course, the people wanted him to be their king. And not only him, but they wanted a dynasty, because they said, hey, we want you to be king and your son's sons. What's that called? That's called a dynasty. And Gideon gave the right answer in verse 23. He said, no, I'm not going to rule over you, neither shall my son rule over you. Why not? Well, because the Lord shall rule over you. And then if you move ahead, 29 through 32, we'll go ahead and wait and come down to that, but that's part of this particular point. The people ask for a king, and it talks about his family there, and we'll get to that here in a bit. They wanted to reward him because he had done so much for them. And so they thought, well, you know, if we could have him as our king, it would ensure future unity, it would guarantee sound leadership. And if we were ever invaded again, Gideon would be the right man to mobilize the troops and fight any enemy that we may face. So when they asked for a king, basically what they were doing was denying the Lord, were they not? Think about it. They asked for a king. Earlier in Deuteronomy, even a passage in Exodus, we read where Moses warned the people that one day you're going to ask for a king. It's not a good thing. You ought not to do it. If you're interested in those passages, we're not going to turn to them, but Deuteronomy 4, 5 through 8, it's one of the warnings of Moses, Deuteronomy 4, 5 through 8, Deuteronomy 14, 2, Deuteronomy 17, 14 through 20, and then all the way back in Exodus chapter 19, verses 4 and 5. And I think I'm gonna read that one, since that's the first time. Let me go ahead and read Exodus chapter 19, verses 4 and 5. You have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And of course, that's the Lord speaking, and he's basically telling them, I am your king. I am the one you are to follow. Don't look elsewhere. You listen to my voice, obey it, keep my covenant, you shall be a peculiar treasure. And so why would they want any other king? There was no other nation that had the Lord God, Jehovah God, and of course he is creator God, the only nation to have him, the Lord of heaven and earth, as their king. So Gideon said no. But he had a kind of unusual request, number two, under Gideon's startling reply. Gideon asked for gold. Gideon asked for gold. He said, well, listen, you know, while we're talking here, I'd like to get some gold. The people, of course, anything they could do, they were so excited that he delivered them out of the hands of the Midianites and the Amalekites and other kings of the east. He said, I have a request of you that every man give me the earrings of his prey, talking about the spoil. So even back then, some of the men were wearing earrings. I'd never gotten used to that. But anyway, he said, for they had golden earrings because they were Ishmaelites, which, of course, is synonymous with the Midianites. And the answer, we will willingly give them. They spread a garment out and cast thereon every man the earrings of his prey. And, of course, 1,700 shekels of gold, which is, each shekel is two-thirds of an ounce, or about 11 grams each, a total of 42 pounds. And I mentioned this as we wrapped it up last week, that it was over 1,563,072 at the price of gold when I studied this out. So it could have changed by now. It changes daily. But over $1.5 million worth of gold. That's a lot of gold, don't you think? I mean, even when William Devane encourages us to buy gold, he probably doesn't mean $1.5 million worth of gold. So he refused the throne, but he wanted to live like a king. These verses describe the life of a monarch, not a judge or a retired soldier. He was rich from the spoils of war. He was rich from the people's gifts. He had many wives, and he had at least one concubine. He had 70 sons. That's a lot of sons. I would have settled for one. 70 sons. Of course, I got Tater. He's like the son I never had. And, of course, I have now James. And Dave is only 8 years younger than me, so I call him Brother Dave. With his concubine, he had one son, Abimelech, which means my father is a king. And he would later, as we're going to see in the next chapter, he decided, you know, Dad didn't want to be a king, but I sure do. And so it's quite a long story. It's the longest chapter in the book of Judges. And by the way, it's a tragic story. One of the most tragic stories in the book of Judges as well. So the people gladly gave him gold because he delivered them. But who actually did the delivering? Yeah, God did. But they didn't, they at this point weren't even thinking about God. I mean, that's old news. They gave the glory to Gideon, and he never did correct them. I don't know if you noticed that. The people gave him the gold. The Midianites wore gold crescents on the ear or the nose. The soldiers took these as spoil. He ended up with all that gold, plus what he took from Zeba and Zalmunna, the last two kings that he defeated. But the tragedy, it gets even worse. He made an ephod. In the beginning, an ephod was strictly for the high priest. It's quite a fancy piece of garment, piece of the priest's garments. Had one piece of fine linen in the front, had a bunch of gold in it, had some gold claps that the back part, he had a front and a back, it was like an apron, went down below the waist and the front and the back. And then, of course, you had the breastplate that went over that and had the Urim and the Thummim. And on the ephod were six stones on one shoulder, six stones on the other, representing the 12 tribes of Israel. It was a beautiful, had gold, had a gold ornamental chain, had a lot of stuff to it. We don't know exactly what it was, because later, like when David, remember when David danced before the Lord and his wife, Michael or Michelle, depending on how you pronounce it, was looking down and saw him dancing around like the court jester, and wasn't very kingly, she didn't think. He had a linen ephod, and it wasn't meant as a priestly garment. It was more of a thing to set him apart in worship of the Lord. So there were several different options of what this could have been. It looked to me like it's kind of a set apart ephod made strictly of gold, maybe in the shape of the ephod, and maybe hung upon a pole. We know that's called an idol, right? And idolatry was often likened to adultery, spiritual adultery. And maybe he meant it for good. Maybe he was just trying to honor the Lord. You know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of the golden calf. Remember when Aaron made the golden calf, he listened to the people and he melted down the jewelry, all the brass, and made a golden calf. Remember that? It was kind of like to worship, but they were really worshiping God, but they were going to use this calf because Moses had been gone for so long, and so they kind of wanted something they could worship, and they were really worshiping God, they said, but they weren't, were they? It was idolatry. Same thing here. Maybe he meant it for good, but a good motive doesn't erase a bad action, does it? Our politicians often have good motives, but they do stupid things. Does it erase the stupidity because they meant well? No, it doesn't, because it hurts the whole nation. So we need good motives and good actions. So the people, another great KJV way of putting it, they went a-whoring. The people went a-whoring. They were no longer devoted to Jehovah God, but an idol. And, you know, the next step after you worship this image of an ephod, the next step is to worship Baal. And they did. Later, they did. Gideon had a chance to help bring about a spiritual renewal, didn't he? I mean, what an opportunity. He and the people had seen God work time and time and time again, winning victory after victory after victory. He had torn down his father's idols, but there were still many that were worshiping idols and worshiping Baal that needed to be torn down. And he didn't tear those down. Instead, he made a golden ephod. He saw great victories, and the people saw great victories over Midian, over the Amalekites, over other kings of the east. He could have called the people back to full worship of God and totally eliminated idolatry for the glory of God, but he chose his own prophet. And the source of Gideon's fall was pride. He got puffed up, didn't he? It's tragic how many good men and women over the centuries started out really, really well and ended poorly. How about Solomon? We, of course, are going to be looking at Samson. Tragedy, wasn't it? Samson. Give me another example. There are many. Give me one. Who else started out well and didn't finish so good? Anybody?
Saul.
Huh?
Saul. King Saul.
There you go. Yeah. Saul was filled with the Spirit of God. He wasn't God's first choice for king, but the people chose him. God honored it and empowered him to do right, and he was overcome by jealousy over little David. And, of course, that led to his ultimate demise. He ended up...
Pride got him, too.
Exactly, yeah. Pride, envy. He envied David. Because here was this big, tall king, strong. Armor was so strong that David was going to use it, but said, I think I'll bypass this. And he took on Goliath with a sling and five smooth stones. How many stones did he need? He only needed one stone and planted it right in the forehead of that big, ugly giant. And then, of course, he cut his head off. That was probably a job. So pride caused Gideon's decline. He went from servant to celebrity. He thought of himself as a celebrity. And then, number five, Israel's sad decision. Israel's sad decision. Gideon had one concubine, and that concubine, she was a slave girl, and his concubine was in Shechem, or Shechem is the actual correct pronunciation, Shechem. She also bare him a son whose name he called Abimelech. My father is a king. And Gideon, the son of Joash, died in a good old age. See, Kathy, he was old. I don't know what old is, though. I don't know how old he was. And was buried in the sepulcher of Joash, his father, in Ophrah of Abiezrite, of the Abiezrites. And it came to pass, As soon as Gideon was dead, the children of Israel turned again after 40 years of blessing. They turned again and went a-whoring after Balaam, which is plural for Baal, could be translated the Baals. And made Baal Berith their god. Wow. Yes, sir.
Well, this 40 years, this is another generation that has come along, just like our generation, but the next generation we can see is...
But they grew up in all this blessing, right?
Well, what about the next generation behind us?
I know. That's what I'm saying. I'm talking about Gideon's. Doesn't look that way, does it?
No. I mean, just one generation.
It's getting worse.
Change everything.
It's getting worse.
One generation.
You're right. We're at that point now. We are at the breaking point. This is it. This is it. Well, what? I'm sorry, go ahead.
248 years since our nation was formed, but like the Roman Empire, in less than 300 years. So have we got 50 more years to go before?
Yeah. It's 300 or 400, I forget. Is it 400? I think it's close to 400 years. But, yeah, I mean, look at how far down we've gone in 50, 60 years.
That was Pax Romana, and then the Catholic Church took over from there, and then they split.
That's right. Yeah. And you had the Byzantines and different, I forget, I don't remember all that history. Becca was a history major. Give us a lesson, Becca. Come on, it was only 20 years ago. Come on. All right, Israel's sad decision. Number one under that, Israel forgets God. They forgot God. The children of Israel remembered not the Lord their God. That almost makes it sound like it was an intentional thing. They chose not to remember. Obviously, they did remember, but they lived as though God had never done anything. Sound familiar? Nation formed under the principles of the Word of God. Many of the men who signed the Declaration of Independence were godly men. Not all of them were born-again believers, but they all believed in God, and they believed in prayer, and they did pray, and God did answer, and God formed a great republic. And now look. They forgot God, and number one under that, they forsook his desire. I made this up all by myself. They forsook his desires. They forsook his desires. God had delivered them out of the hands of all their enemies on every side. They forgot his deliverance. They forgot his desires. God, of course, wanted them to follow him and him alone, to obey his commandments. They forsook his desires, forgot his deliverance. Then not only did Israel forget God, but Israel forgot Gideon. Forgot Gideon. Just like we as a nation are forgetting our great leaders. As a matter of fact, we went through that period where it was time to tear down all the statues of some of the greatest Americans that ever walked on this earth. And finally, President Trump said, okay, that's it. One more statue. Next one tears a statue down, you're getting 10 years. No questions asked. 10 years in jail. What happened after that? Statues remained standing.
If you look at George Washington, he had the chance. He could have become a king. But instead, he stepped down.
They wanted him to become. Some actually wanted him to become king.
He stepped down to allow the next person.
Yeah. He was a great man, George Washington. Some people say, well, you know, they had slaves. Look, we cannot view the past through the lens of today. Can we? What was acceptable then, we know it's not acceptable now. We know it wasn't right back then, but it was different back then. It wasn't today. So you can't say, well, he was a terrible man. He had slaves. We got to tear down all statues and get his face off of that dollar bill. That's just wrong. And it borderlines on being stupid. Well, they forgot Gideon, verse number 35. Neither showed they kindness. Some translations have kindness translated steadfast love. Neither showed they steadfast love to the house of Zerubbabel. That's a long A there, Baal. Namely, Gideon. They forgot his good service. according to all the goodness which he had shown unto Israel. So they forgot God and they forgot the man God used. Doesn't sound too good, does it? Going down the same path. Any other questions before we move on?
The Israelites were the ones that they sold Joseph into, weren't they?
Yeah, it was his brothers.
Yeah.
Reuben was the oldest. Reuben's the one that I think kept him from actually being left in that pit.
So, the Israelites, it's been about 450 years since they sold Joseph into, because they were down in Egypt 400 years.
And yeah.
It's mentioned here again. So it's the same tribe.
And same problems today in Israel that you can trace back throughout history.
Yeah.
That acts of disobedience and sin have caused a lot of the recurring issues that Israel has had to face all these centuries and still face.
That's right.
Anybody else? If you ask me a few more questions, I'm tempted not to get into chapter 9. We'll get into it. All right, one of Gideon's sons, of course, the only one that was born out of a sinful relationship with Gideon's slave, his name was Abimelech. My father is a king. And he had a passionate desire to be king. And we're going to look at three different parts of his political career that are contained here in this chapter 9. Again, the longest chapter in Judges. In verses 1 through 21, we're going to look at number 1, taking the kingdom. Taking the kingdom. Abimelech felt that his father should have accepted the kingship, but since he didn't, he was going to do it. He decided that he should be king, so he packed up and he moved from Ophrah to Shechem to campaign. And he ended up breaking many of God's laws, and he brought to himself and the people of Israel destruction and trouble. Number 1, undertaking the kingdom, and this is where we'll end, verses 1 and 2. He was filled with pride and self-will. I want us to notice how he broke various commandments. The Ten Commandments, he broke various ones throughout his time before and after becoming king. The first one was the Tenth Commandment, which is? Come on, you old Lutherans and Catholics, you know what it is. We had to learn the catechism. Yes, thou shalt not covet. Thou shalt not covet. He coveted the kingship. He wanted it more than anything. When he moved to Shechem, he knew there were both Jews and Canaanites there. His father Gideon, of course, was a Jew. His mother was a Canaanite, a Shechemite. If king, then, I mean, he had an advantage over his brothers because he would appeal to both sides, Jew and Canaanite. Because he had a parent that was one of each. The Canaanites in Shechem really didn't know anything to Gideon, did they? He didn't fight for them. They didn't owe him anything. Didn't owe his sons anything. But Abimelech was one of them. All right, let's look at verse 1. And Abimelech, the son of Jerubbaal, which of course is Gideon, went to Shechem, unto his mother's brethren or relatives, and communed with them. He had a conversation. He said to them, with all the family or the clan of the house of his mother's father or mother's family, saying, speak, I pray you, in the ears of all the men. Some translations have all the leaders of Shechem. Whether is better for you, or which is better for you, either that all the sons of Zerubbabel, which are 70 or 70 men, reign over you, or would it be better if just one reigned over you? And I wonder which one he was figuring on. being the king. Remember also, now don't forget, this is important, I am your bone and your flesh. So he was filled with pride and self-will as he coveted the kingship. So he worked on his family, he campaigned, his family and the leaders of Shechem. And of course, this was just the beginning of what is going to be. The next one is going to be idolatry. Let's stop here. Questions? Can you imagine somebody being so evil that you would have all 70 of your, well, one escaped, one hid, Jotham. But 69 of his half-brothers he murdered, had murdered. Can you even imagine how evil you'd have to be to do that? All right, let's go over the prayer list. Thank you, Becca. Hang on 1 second here. Wanted to look at something real quick. Thought I saw an error. I caught an error. How about that? All right. Missionaries this week. Tanner and Naomi Devereaux. Tanner and Naomi Devereaux. Church planter in Omaha, Nebraska. And it's a Spanish name church. Imago de Omaha. I don't know what the translation is. You know a little bit of Spanish. Imago, image, dia.
God.
Dia is God in Spanish, D-E-I.
Yeah.
Diversity, equity, inclusion. I just thought of that. Okay. Pray for a person or people of peace in the neighborhood surrounding our church. We desire to see our neighbors transformed by the gospel and for Imago, dia to be a church for the neighborhood. Tanner and Naomi Devereaux. Continue to pray for our church, pray for our nation. I've been praying that God would save our nation, forgive our sin, heal our land, and send reformation, revival to our churches. Pray for Israel and Ukraine. Pray for law enforcement. Pray for that special day on the 28th. It is just by word of mouth. I'm not going to advertise, not going to be in the paper or anything. It's just mainly, of course, we're honoring Scotty and the Sheriff's Department. And after I realized what we're doing for Scotty, I thought about Rhonda. We should have done something similar for you. You're 40 years, or how many years was it? 40 what? 41 years she served the Sheriff's Department. 41 years. So there's going to be like a sub, because you're just as much to be honored as, because without you, that place would have fallen apart. Have they ever found anybody? I see advertisements occasionally still.
Yeah, they see coal.
They probably need like two or three to replace you, don't they?
Oh, really? Part, so.
Of course, they did that right after you left, right? Or before you left. Well, we appreciate what all those years that you served on so many different sheriffs. Pray for our troops. Pray for our missionaries. Pray for Hope House. There is a list of supplies. They have a kind of a star by the ones that are the most frequently needed. If you want to bring something, If you don't want to drive down there, if you want to bring something and leave it here, I can run it down one day, or if somebody else wants to be the courier and carry stuff down. But we do support them $200 a month, so I feel good about that. But pray for the ladies there. Pray for Mark. Continues to have health issues. Rhonda, for strength to deal with both his situation and her mom, who needs our prayers as well. Mary, oxygen down a little bit today. So pray for Mary. Pray for Bill and his kidney issues and blood pressure. Judy Shade, Betty's niece Teresa, who's staying with them, and she goes Thursday goes to the doctor to figure out how she's progressing. Tammy Riggleman needs a kidney lump in the stomach. Did Annadale, what happened about the lump in the stomach? Have they figured something out?
Fine.
Everything's good? Oh, that's great.
Still need the kidney, but
all right, I'm gonna make a note of that here. Rebecca Force, her mom, going to be either 92 or 93 next month, lives with them, and I got to talk to her for quite a while on Monday, because Rebecca, if something happens to her, she goes to be with the Lord. She wanted me to be familiar with her and her with me, because she wants me to do the service. But anyway, they found cancer in her jaw. But they feel like they caught it early enough where it's just in the jaw. She never drank, never smoked, never used tobacco. It goes to show we can get cancer anywhere, no matter what we do. We can get cancer of the liver and never touched a drink. But anyway, so she went through the surgery. There were a couple little hiccups, because they got to do reconstructive stuff and a lot of different. They had an artery that they had to go back in the next day and open up an artery in her neck. But anyway, they're going to take the trach out. Hopefully, they're going to take that trach out today, and she'll be able to be moved to a regular room. That was the goal. That's what I heard of as of last night. She's in Hopkins down in Baltimore. So pray much for Ruth, and also for Nelson and Rebecca. Rebecca and her sister Linda, remember Linda came and visited, and there's another sister I met that came in on Monday. So they're kind of around the clocking there at the hospital. Also had a praise that my great nephew Owen is doing very, very well following his surgery. He's got a birthday, 1 year birthday coming up next month. The Unger family, pray for that family. Death of Melissa, only 43 years old. George tweaked his back, put too much cream in the cream-filled donuts, got too heavy and hurt his back. Now, there is, I know you think, he makes donuts, how can you hurt his back? Well, you got the big racks, you got the frozen dough that comes in boxes that's heavy, and it doesn't take anything anyway, does it? All you got to do is twist wrong, bend wrong. It doesn't take much. Well, he had an issue. He had issues a couple years ago, and now it's come back to haunt him a little bit. Benny Martin fell and had to get stitches. Pray for Darla McClintock's health issues. Bobby Miller, breathing problems, and those battling various addictions. And that is, of course, wide. I mean, there are a lot of addictions. Yes, ma'am.
My brother George lost his wife with cancer. Then his daughter got terrible cancer and still fighting that. Then his wife got cancer and she survived that. Now this coming Wednesday, his youngest daughter goes in to have both of her breasts removed because she has cancer. So please pray for that family.
47 years. Amanda's 44 years old.
What's your name, Amanda?
Amanda.
And that would be your
niece.
And that's happening Thursday?
Wednesday.
Wednesday. Okay. All right, let's stand together. Gary, how's your sister getting along? Any, Darlene, how's she doing?
This treatment is taking a toll on her. She's no energy at all.
Gary's sister that visited here last year, lives down in Florida. They found that she has leukemia. She's going under treatments that are really hitting her hard. So pray for Darlene as well, okay? Father, thank you that you're on the throne. And in this life, we see death, we see sorrow, cancer and other diseases, pain, disappointment, heartache. We thank you, Lord, that one day if we know Christ as Savior, if we've been born into your family, all the tears will be wiped away. There will be no more sorrow, no more loss, no more pain. In the meantime, Lord, we pray for your grace, which we know from the Word of God is sufficient. We pray that we would trust you more, not lean upon our own understanding, because there are things we don't understand, but we know that you do because you're in control, you're in charge. So help us, Lord, to put our faith and trust and reliance upon you, knowing that you've got it all under control. Give us greater faith, Lord. Help us to love you more, to focus more on you and what a great God you are. We ask that you'd meet the physical needs of the many we've called out to you this morning. We pray if it would glorify you and please you that you would heal. And Lord, if it's not your will to heal at this time, that you would ease the pain these folks are in. And we pray that you give them even a greater faith, and that other family members and friends would see Christ in some of these and desire to have what they have, to have Christ as their Savior and Lord. Father, we pray that you'd heal George as he tweaked his back, and we think of Mark, and no doubt he goes through days of anxiety and loneliness and fear. And I pray, God, you'd hold him up and give him that strength he needs. And if it would glorify you, you'd heal his body and his mind. Continue to help Rhonda as she deals with the situation with her husband and also with her mother. And Father, we pray you'd bless the coming hour. We thank you, Lord, for your word, and we pray it would find root in our hearts, and the Spirit of God would have free course moving from heart to heart, from life to life, from person to person, that the one that's lost without Jesus would come to know him today before it's too late. We thank you again for Jesus who loved us and gave himself for us. Without Christ, there is no life, there is no hope, there is no future. So we thank you, Lord. Help us to long to be in the center of your will, to long to please you above all else, to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, knowing that all the things that we need will be added unto us in due time. Lord, we need rain. We need rain really, really bad. And Lord, we know you're the Lord of heaven and earth, and we pray you'd send rain to relieve this drought, to replenish our wells, our rivers, our streams. Lord, please have mercy on us. We don't deserve any good thing, but we know that anything that is good, all good gifts come from you, from the Father of lights, in whom there's no variableness or shadow of turning. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, well, five after, we'll start with the video this morning.